to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Now, also, if you want to check us out on that Washington Defender app, you can go to WashingtonDefender.org and you can get a web version of the app. We are in our series, Getting to Know Jesus. And if you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you are inside that Washington Defender app that I just talked about at WashingtonDefender.org, I want to encourage you, place this inside of your huddle. What are we trying to do? We're trying to change our heart so that we change the public square. So today's devotion is called Your Spirit Anointed Mission. All right, we're going to learn from Jesus about Jesus' Spirit Anointed Mission and evaluate ours today in the public square. But before we do that, let's talk about what's happening today in Washington. So Washington State Standard reports firefighters were still battling Monday to gain control of wildfires that tore through residential areas in and around Spokane over the weekend. So I just left there, actually. Still very, very smoky. It does look like they're starting to get it under control. In fact, I drove across the entire state this morning and it was smoke just about every place I went on I-90. The three fires that are a part of the Spokane complex have scorched well over 10,000 acres, according to figures updated on Monday night. Initial estimates indicate around 700 homes and other buildings had burned. No deaths were reported at this time. And on Monday night, the Spokane County Sheriff's Office said authorities had arrested a suspect for arson in connection with the Old Trails fire, which has burned around 3,000 acres and destroyed many structures. So they arrested a 37-year-old man without incident and booked him into Spokane County Jail. So who is this person they arrested? His name is Aaron, and he is a resident of Spokane, Washington, a previously convicted felony of manslaughter in Arizona related to his father's killing in Mesa, Arizona, around 2010 that he that took place. And then he was convicted in 2012. So this Aaron guy is the suspect for the arsons or one of the fires in Spokane. So he's being booked into jail on suspect of first-degree arson with bond reported at $1 million, and we don't know if legal representation has been given. So we're going to pray for justice over this fire and for those who've lost their homes. Let's pray, and then we'll dive into God's word today. Heavenly Father, we just lift up to you this Aaron dude, and if he is truly responsible, God, we pray that he will take responsibility for his actions, that he would move forward in the process, and that he would be convicted of, of arson and destroying families, homes, and all this, God. I pray that it'll be a very severe penalty for his actions, God. If he's not the one, if he's innocent, we do pray that you would find the perpetrator of these fires. God, we know it's not, in my mind, it's not a coincidence that there's a fire warning and then just moments later, or days later, there's fires everywhere in Spokane. So if there's other arsons that are available or who participated, we just pray that you would bring in justice into Spokane and that you would have them be caught and that justice will be served. We also pray for the 700 homes, which represents 700 families, roughly what, 2,800 to 3,000 people, depending on the family size. God, we know that there's so many details that have to take place. And so we just pray that you would go before each and every one of those families, that you would provide for them, that their insurance wouldn't fight them the whole way, that they would be able to rebuild and restart and do all those things. So Holy Spirit, would you comfort them? We love our neighbors, God. We want what's best for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's dive into today's scripture. We are in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit." So remember in this chapter a little bit earlier, Jesus was baptized in chapter 3. Jesus went into the wilderness and the beginning of chapter 4, and he was tempted by Satan. And now Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding districts. And so today, as you go into the public square, I want you to think about Are you coming in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because if you are born again, in other words, if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, that same resurrection spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. So just like Jesus went, returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the surrounding district, you can go to work today in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. So Jesus's ministry started out with a lot of praise. It's not going to stay that way, but it started out this way. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. Now, this is what's very, very interesting. We're going to look at what Jesus reads from the book of Isaiah. And we're going to understand that this comes from the Old Testament. And see, there's this argument like, hey, we're New Testament Christians. We have nothing to do with the Old Testament. And so a lot of times people don't participate in those areas of understanding the Old Testament. But when you do that, when you limit your knowledge to just the New Testament, you are missing out on the very foundation and the context of the New Testament. So from Genesis to Revelation, it's one book in essence. I mean, it's 66 books, but it's one book in essence. It's one theme. It's one story. It's one God revealing himself to humanity. And so much of the Old Testament is going to tell you about the New Testament. So here we go. Isaiah 61. Let's go back there really quick. And this is where Jesus is reading. And we're going to look at this together and understand what he is reading. So let's go to Isaiah 61. And we're going to start in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. All right, so now let's go over to Luke. Let's read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release of the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Look at that. He's quoting the Old Testament. And I want to break this down, because yes, this is referring to Jesus. It's messianic in nature. So Isaiah spoke of Jesus in this moment. At the same time, that same messianic nature, that same Jewish nature of Jesus is inside of you and of you and of me. So it says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, right? So as you go into that workplace today, understand the Spirit of the living God is upon you. He's anointed you to preach the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news that God is with us and he saves us through his son, Jesus Christ. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had this last week with people dealing with fear and anxiety, and they've been held captive by their flesh, in their fear and anxiety, and God wants to set them completely free by understanding the word of God. Recovery of the sight to the blind, set free those who are oppressed. See, some people think that somehow this idea of oppression comes from socialism and or Marxism or communism. It doesn't. The idea of bondage and people being oppressed in the spirit realm and physical realm is a scheme of the enemy. And staying under that oppression or declaring that you're oppressed when you're not is a scheme of the enemy. We are to be set free, and he who the Son has set free is free indeed. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That is today. Today is the favorable year of God. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. The blood of Jesus Christ is on you today. And so to think through, like, Don't put off saying, well, I'll just wait one more week. I'm just not quite good enough. No. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he closed the book, gave it to the attendants, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Could you imagine being there? And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which was falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Wow. So Jesus says, this scripture is fulfilled. And he said to them, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard, we have done at Capernaum, do here in the hometown as well. And he said, truly, I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath, the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. Now look at that. It starts out, and he began teaching in the synagogue, and he was praised by all. Then it says, and they wondered at his speaking. And then when he confronts them, they become enraged at him. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard this, and they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill of which the city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. Wow. But he passed through their midst. He went his way. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed of the spirit. Oh, we're going to stop there. We'll get there tomorrow. So here's what I want to say to you. If you proclaim yourself, how good you are, your self-righteousness, all that kind of stuff, people have a right to be annoyed at you. If you proclaim truth, there's only one way to heaven, Jesus Christ. There's only one way in which a person might be saved, the death, burial, resurrection, and appearance of Jesus Christ. There's only one good news, Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Repent. Today is this day of salvation. People can go from praising you to hating you like that. Why? Because the truth penetrates the heart. And I got to tell you something. In Washington State, we need more truth. We need the ability to stand strong on truth, not on political anger or political rage, but on the truth that unless the heart is regenerated by the Spirit, nothing else will change. Policy won't change. Our words won't change. Our governance won't change. Our families won't change. Our churches won't change. Our employer-employee relationships won't change. Even ourselves won't change unless we apply the blood of Jesus by faith through grace. Today is the day of salvation. Would you turn to Jesus today and be saved? The Spirit of the living God can be upon you. And for some of you, you're going to be that voice crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord and calling people to repentance. You say, I don't know. No, today you're going to open your mouth and share Jesus with someone. Today is the day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we do pray that you would open up ears, eyes, mouths, and all that is around us, God, that they would know that you are the living God, the resurrected Savior that takes away the sins of the world. God, we pray for Governor Bob Ferguson. We pray for his salvation. We pray for President Trump and his family. We pray for their salvation. God, we pray for Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell. And we pray for Michael Baumgartner. And we pray for Rob Chase. And we pray for Leonard Christian. And we pray for Jenny Graham. And we pray, God, we can just lift up name after name after name. Let them draw nearer to you, O God. Let them represent you with excellence. God, we just pray that you would just move upon each and every individual in such a special way today, God. Let the Spirit of the living God fall fresh. We pray for every business owner across our state. God, would you cause them to be born again, born afresh by your Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.